Today, visiting with the legendary John Rosa from the Boone County Landfill and Recycling.
Good morning, Goat.
Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
Oh, this is...
Thanks for letting me.
It's our regular visit. That's why I'm looking forward to seeing you and talking with you. Since last we met... It's been 3 weeks or so,
hasn't it? Yes,
yeah, about
right.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you had a little vacation.
I did, yes.
Got to tour the world of recycling and solid waste management. Well, different, because we were talking before we got started, different places do things differently.
Certainly.
Different, even here in the state, we got, you know, different things. Over in the eastern part of the state, the way they handle it in some areas, different. You go to different states, they got different ideas on how to do it. And different countries.
Different countries, yes.
We've seen some of the different things that, every once in a while on 60 Minutes, they'll have something that are always pretty amazing. How do they do that?
Yeah.
And you went elsewhere. You were in Europe.
Yeah, it wasn't a work trip, but there's still those times when I'm probably working by observing.
You're just looking
and curious. And how do they do that? Because I think it matters, and it's not just the job. It's, I guess, it means more to me. But yeah, my family, we went on a trip to Italy, and it was wonderful. It's a wonderful country. Just the scenery, the history, everything about it. I would encourage it if you ever get the opportunity, certainly. But how it relates to my job anyway is very simple. I mean, we noticed it like day one. Containers, plastic water bottles. I still didn't buy any plastic water bottles. The small ones. We did buy some bigger ones just because we're not sure about the water conditions. But anyway, the plastic lids on those containers, and it was on milk containers, juice, any kind of beverage container, pops, soda pop. You take the lid, you twist it off, it comes loose, you flip it up, it has a piece that's built onto it to prevent it from being separated. At first it was like, it flips out of the way, then you can drink from it, you can pour from it. It mm-hmm. still works that way. And to me, it was a very simple idea. I didn't get a chance to ask anybody. We didn't know anybody over there.
Sure.
So about why, but we were talking in the office earlier, and so I look it up, and it's in their efforts to reduce plastic waste. So they're not allowing that lid to be separated from the container itself, so that the container, when it gets recycled, the lid goes with it automatically. You know, do we do that here? Yeah, you can put the lid back on, but we're going to drive over it with a skid loader and probably pop it, and that lid's going to go flying, so it's going to be separated. And where do those end up? A lot of times they'll end up in landfills, or other times they'll end up in garbage, in the ditches, and then they make their way to a waterway, they'll end up on a beach. So their country is worried about plastic waste and making sure that it's in the proper area, trying to get it recycled first, but more importantly, keep it off the natural areas and beaches and waters and all those things. So I think it's a cool idea. It's such a simple thing to me. It's just that little bit. We're talking about a quarter of an inch, a half an inch of piece that's going to be fixed to that, to keep that lid attached to the container. And if it's making an impact, why wouldn't we do that? I guess I know I'm sound kind of I'm geeked out about it, but it's it's exciting.
Well, those are things. Are they more concerned about what's, because they do have obviously a lot more beach area,
right?
So you would think Florida would be a hot spot for.
Yeah,
in California would be a hotspot.
You know. And even that, you know, to say, well, it's just about beach areas or coastal areas or near waterways, near sources. Well, we're all in a watershed, you know, and it's all,
we've got them.
You know, it's going to end up somewhere. And still, why not make the effort, even though if it's not on a beach or a coast, to make sure that it's not going into any water source and making sure it's going to the proper area. Better chance of getting it recycled if it's attached to the container. To me, it makes a lot of sense. Or, you know, ultimately, if it does have to go to a landfill, that it actually makes it there instead of being dumped out into the environment. So I think I like it because it's a simple idea. It's not like we have to change the chemical composition of the plastic to make sure it's more biodegradable over time, or it's nothing fancier than just changing the production of that lid and making sure that it's attached and stays attached to the container. I love those things. That low hanging fruit, the easy maybe adjustments. And if I owned a water bottle company, I would implement that. I think that's a cool idea.
And this is a perfect, I saw the chief in Ogden had posted another one of his little things, reminders for people along the trail over there. All of a sudden, there's three, four water bottles laying there and some other debris, litter that people had tossed, either tossed in, just left it, dropped it there, and walked away. I know.
Yeah. The battle continues.
It's not just there. I know we have a lot. And especially we get into, we'd already done all the activities back earlier this year. So some of the things that I know on the recycling side we used to do is in a lot of, and Keep Boone County Beautiful in particular is what you guys do. We've got people that have adopted some roadways and done some things like that. And I know you want to work with them. I think we've had people in town adopt roadways and do things. I think it falls probably under the same program. I don't know how the city works with you on that, if they work with you at all on that. Yeah. But these are easy things for people to become involved with. I mean, the tools are there. Yeah. It just takes somebody willing to do it.
Yep, that's right. And they do. It does all fall under the same blanket of Keep Iowa Beautiful, Keep America Beautiful, Keep Iowa Beautiful, Keep Boone County Beautiful. It all comes. And we've worked with the city on, doing those events that we would accept the stuff, the waste that's picked up, and take it at no charge, of course, and because it's part of the efforts. So, but yes, adopting a road, and it seems like there's been more of that over the last couple of years. There's been a push, and we can still have more push coming on to get more roads out to groups to adopt them and clean those areas up to keep our county or our whole area beautiful. So, it's frustrating to see that, and I noticed it on the way here too. That's one of the challenges at the landfill. There's garbage trucks that are constantly coming in, which we have a covered load policy, tarping. You must do that, and you get the people that have the opinion that, well, it's not going to blow out. You don't get to choose.
They'd be surprised.
Yes. And even when it's tarped, there's stuff that slips out. It, sits underneath the tarps and flutters, and the plastic wrapping especially. So it's one of the challenges that we face, and we have to go collect those things. Someone has to do it, I guess. And in that area, it's our responsibility. We're going to do that. We do have the big fence around the outside of the landfill to keep that stuff in, and it's helping. But if it's blowing out before it ever gets to us, we can't get it inside the fence. So, doing your due diligence to make sure your loads are secured, tarped, covered, to make sure all your stuff gets there is certainly important, to not have that stuff blowing out on the way there and then making a necessary thing to be cleaned up, kind of like the adopt a road portion that you alluded to. So it's one of the challenges for sure.
I think one of the reasons, way back it was a few decades ago, that the covered load, folks, that's how long ago the covered load thing's been in place. It's been quite a while.
It's not a new thing.
But I think part of it, one of the things that was always amazing is people would be, bagging up their leaves in the fall and stuff like that. And then they'd drive down the road, and all of a sudden you'd see these bags laying in the middle of the median out there because they just blew out.
Yeah.
And that's then, the reason, the way we can take care of that is cover that load until you get it here.
Right.
Then it's still a challenge for some, but what it is.
Yeah.
But.
And every now and then we get those vehicles that are, pulled over off the road down there on Montana, just outside of by Lane Trailer. It seems to be an option to where they pull over on the shoulder and then they choose to tarp their load because they know they have to come in to the landfill with a tarp on. Otherwise, they're going to get fined for it, and which just... it doesn't quite do the job. But if you've driven how many miles just to then put your tarp on dangerously on the side of a road just to avoid getting the fine, why wouldn't you just tarp it when you left home? That's the goal. And it's what you need to be tarping it when it leaves your property so that it doesn't blow out anywhere, not just the last mile before the landfill. So those are the ones that really are head scratchers to me, and we're going to fine you anyway. So I've talked to the supervisors about We are often very patient with our covered load policy. Mm-hmm. It's hard to track who is this person, especially if it's just a random person coming in, and maybe they didn't know. And I get that. But after a while, you need to, you know, warning. Well, what are we warning about? You know, if we're just going to continue doing warnings, those aren't really effective unless you actually follow through with something. Maybe it's like parenting, I guess. You have to have some follow through in that. And I just wonder if it's time to get rid of the warning portion of our covered load policy and say, if you don't come in, you're going to get fined. Okay. 100%. Yeah. They've said, well, haulers automatically should know because that's their business. I mean, companies should know, but you know, the average person coming in with a trailer or a truckload and they didn't cover it, maybe they didn't know. Well, I still, the information's out there on the website. They can call, they can ask, they should. You can't make excuses after a while. So there's sometimes it's very frustrating to where we're continue warning people. And it's a challenge.
Going back to the recycling and that part, yes. Again, avoiding the littering part is where we got into that. But back to the recycling thing. So you saw some interesting things on how it's done in another country. We know other countries do differently. Yeah. They have different procedures. Market is different as well. Obviously, if we have marketing for our recyclables comparable to what they've got, again, that's what we've got. And what we work with what we've got, unfortunately. It may not be as all-encompassing as people would like, but it is a start.
Yeah. And yeah, you do need a source when you have the plastic or the cardboard, the paper, all of it, have it separated and it's processed. You know, it doesn't do any good to just have it and then if you have nothing else to do with it. If you've separated it and baled it and set it into a facility, which the company we work with, that's what they're doing. But if they don't have a source for it to go to actually be reprocessed and turned into something else and come back in a different form, then what's the point? So you need the markets, the end markets, and that's the frustration with recycling is those markets fluctuate often and a lot dramatically on the prices to make it difficult to be cost-effective business. And so when that changes like that, or if it's markets just stop, which we experienced that quite a few years ago, when China just said no more. Yeah. That was our biggest market, was to send our recycling over there, and then once they cut us off, then that was a dramatic change in where do we go with the materials. So,
and again, that was all the material different.
Yeah,
you could send a lot. So part of it, and people will wonder, well, you know, we just couldn't take our aluminum cans to someplace and have them taken care of. A lot of it is you get into volume. You know, where can you market it cost effectively, I guess.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of it's volume related. That's why we go down to Des Moines. We and many others haul there.
Yeah, the challenges of the volumes, the quantities that we get, and that's one of the number one questions when I go out to talk to groups is about our plastics, because it's pretty limiting and restrictive, and part of that is who we're working with. That's kind of the volume, the quantity that they're trying to get. The only way that they're regulating is by saying, let's just bring in these plastics, because if we take them all, if we took everything, and well, for one, there's not enough market for all of them, but even if you just took all number ones, and it used to be about reading the number and all that, and the fives, and seeing what number's on there, and making sure it's recyclable. Instead, it has a twist top lid, which, you know, would be nice if it was affixed to it. Going back to that comment, and also the yogurt and margarine containers. That's what we take, and it's a way for them to regulate the markets so that they don't have too much material, but yet have enough to meet the requirements. So they're working with contractors to say, this many bales, this many pounds, this many ton of plastic is what we'll buy from you. Well, if you have too much of it, then you have to store it. So the company we work with is, if they would have a surplus, they're going to have to store it. And if it got to be so much, if they continue to store it and store it and store it and store it and then keep stockpiling it, eventually they run out of room. Then what do? They're going to have to pay a storage fee somewhere else to continue to hold it until the market's come back, or they have enough, and so if they have a surplus, it's a nuisance. If they don't have enough, then they're not meeting their quota of what they promised to commit to the to the supplier or down the chain, then there's an issue there too. So there's some challenges with that. And trying to control the markets or the amounts is the challenges that they face.
So we leave it up to a bigger company. We just feed them is what we do. Let's talk about our drop-off location, because that is where a lot of people take their recyclables. And I would venture to guess you probably have 80-85% or better, maybe. Would love it to be better, but
yeah.
People that actually do it right, they break down the cardboard, they lay it out, they put the newspaper in the newspaper thing, and they do. But again, you do have that small percentage where they just work on their own rules,
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still a challenge. You would like it to be perfect, but we're talking about human nature.
So. Yeah, and we're probably at 90%. I mean, contamination, we do a really good job in Boone County. And I think it's longevity. It's, you know, it's the continue to fight and try to do better. But I don't, the cynical side of me is we'll never get to 100%. There's going to be something thrown in. There's going to be a hunk of styrofoam. There's going to be something, you know, no matter the battles and the repetition, the efforts we do, someone will do it wrong, accidentally or intentionally, because in fact they'll just do it that way because that's what they want to do, unfortunately. But when you throw in the aspect of tearing down your boxes, I know we'll never get to 100% on that because there's just, some of that's just a lack of effort. But there's so much wasted space in those, and we see that a lot over in Ogden with their drop-off area. I think it's worse over there, probably because it's kind of newer to their program. We haven't had that. We've had that building up there for a couple of years now, I believe.
Sure.
But time flies. But, you know, it takes time.
Well, the new location really is.
Yeah, yeah.
And makes it really trailer. Beneficial for.
Yeah.
If you
very convenient.
Break down the cardboard.
I've heard some people, you know, saying, I've seen it on Facebook, to say, and you know, we do a better job. There's a lot of wasted space. You know, those people get that. You got to tear down your boxes, flatten your containers, squish them down. Think of it like, I try to relate that to being like a landfill in itself. We want to not waste our space in our landfill, because we run out of airspace, we're going to be done. That's a whole different topic that we continue to have, the necessity of that. But kind of like that orange trailer in Ogden sits in our containers uptown, anywhere. Save the space, flatten it down. I don't expect you to stomp it down and squish it to every little bit, but, you know, taking the air out of the containers, flattening your cardboard boxes, because that's really frustrating when there's that much wasted space and the trailer's filling up that much time. Sure. We don't charge. We do all this work on our end, and all we ask is to follow the guidelines and tear down your boxes, save the space, try to get as much stuff into those trailers and containers as much as possible. It helps us immensely, so please help us.
I know school's not in session, but they will be back pretty soon. We do have our pickup that Boone County does, and you've got quite the route. I know you had talked about potentially getting a bigger vehicle. We talked about this previously, about being able to compact some of that, bringing it in. And again, that's one of the challenges out there. But still, we do have a lot of people that do office paper, cardboard, bring that stuff. And they get it to you. We go around and pick up. So our pickup routes and stuff like that continues to expand. Are we still getting people doing it?
For the most part, we're holding steady. You know, in the summertime, it gets a little bit easier just because schools are not in session.
Yeah.
So we're not hitting those stops. And we go out of town. We go down into Granger, Woodward, Madrid. And we go a little bit less during that time, just taking the schools out of those stops. And we just kind of shift gears a little bit. But and that's when we also pick up camps in the exchange. So our summer camps. So we kind of do a swap, schools for camps. But now it's going to be coming back on, of course, and we'll adjust. But anything we can do to help, and we do try to promote it that way too, to say, we'll help your business. You know, we'll take this stuff and we don't charge you. But the expectation is you need to help us, because we're not very patient in that regard, to saying you need recyclable materials in there. just that. And if you foul that up, or if you mess it up, if you intentionally do it, or just treat it like another garbage container, we're not going to come back. It's just one of them things. We already incur enough expense, so we do expect it to be done perfectly. And that's the standard that we shoot for. So if you're interested, if you're a business that doesn't take advantage of that opportunity yet, call the landfill, 515-433-0591. Ask about our business recycling. Ask for John if you'd like. I can certainly help you. There's others in the office too, so Carrie can certainly help. There's our recycling guys if you want to talk to them directly, but go through us and ask about how you get set up. We can help you out with bags or containers. Kind of, we tailor it to what the needs are. There's some companies that just have a whole bunch of cardboard, and they're just going to stockpile it for a while, and then they'll let us know when they have a bunch, and so then we'll make one stop and grab it if that works. If they have the storage space, that's certainly easier for us, instead of making six different stops, and we can just do one instead. So we just try to make it work. We try to work with the business to say, how much room do you have? How much storage? How much stuff do you have, first of all? And what kinds? If it's paper, is there plastic? You know, and then we'll talk, we'll make sure you know the regulations about no film, no bags, all those things. But we try to work with you as much as possible. And again, we don't charge for that service. We're just trying to keep that stuff that should be recycled to make sure it does get recycled.
Let's talk a little bit about the landfill itself, because I know one of the things prior to you leaving was we hit that time where we know Story County was going to quit bringing C&D.
Yeah.
Construction, demolition. Again, I'm going to ask you to tell people, because people just think of construction and demolition, but it's more than that. There are other things that fall into that category.
Yeah.
Other materials.
Yeah. And sometimes it comes down to, how do you classify that stuff when it's household stuff? You know, that's the other phrase is the MSW, is a municipal solid waste. And we're talking about household trash, garbage, stuff that comes from your house versus a construction project, a construction and demolition waste. You know, you think, well, construction and demolition, well, I'm not tearing down a garage or something, so it's not C&D. Well, if you're remodeling a bathroom, it's the same kind of stuff, or remodeling a kitchen or anything. You know, you do some construction work, then it's C&D. It's really comes down to that. Then you get into, well, what about move out loads from Ames? And so it's coming out of a house, but you know, is a chair typical household waste? Not normally. Or a couch or a mattress. I mean, so then where does that get classified? So we try to do our best to make sure we can deal with it and classify it accordingly so we can handle it. But ultimately, we've cut down on, we're talking about the bigger stuff. And we're talking, you know, the C&D, construction and demolition waste from Story County is what we're trying to eliminate from coming to our landfill, trying to slow down how much waste we're taking in. You know, we're on a typical, what we had been doing on a typical summer day, you know, 350, 400 tons. You know, now we're cutting down. It's below 300 on a regular now. So it's working. It's slow, but it's getting there. And it's educating folks and making that transition. But, you know, when a company has a roll-off box, a great big dumpster sitting outside of a business, a lot of stuff can get thrown in there. Some of it could be just MSW, food waste, you know, typical garbage. But typically it's there for a reason. It's probably from a construction project that they're going to just throw a lot of stuff in there. So that's going to be C&D. That's the construction and demolition. And that's the stuff that we're trying not to accept. It's something that we can hopefully...
idea is to reduce the tonnage coming in.
Yes.
Bottom line, to extend life. So.
Yep. And we're trying to work with Ames and Story County because they don't have a landfill, and they have the power plant, but they can only burn certain stuff. They can't burn concrete and, you know, metal, you know, drywall, all those things that are typical in a construction demolition project can't be burnt, so then they have to divert it. So we're trying to work with them as we try to say, stop sending so much stuff to us, because we're trying to take care of our primary service area, which is Boone County and most of Greene County, all of Greene except for Jefferson. So
it's a long story. We're not going into the whole thing. But and the other part on municipal solid waste, the MSW, we've seen just gradual, because we have a disposable society. We just see that continuing to go up.
Yep. It does. It has grown over the years in our own stuff. You know, it used to be when I first started as the educator part-time, it was talking about 40, 45,000 ton that we would be taking in. That was that included a lot of Story County whenever mm-hmm. they were unable to burn and all that stuff. But then we got, you know, it grew. I mean, we're pushing 100,000 ton these past 5 years or so. And that's, you know, simple math. That's a lot more. That's
why he's a math teacher, folks. I told you there would be some math involved here. So.
And that's taking away double your space, obviously, during that time. And then some. What I've talked about is it's hard to get the compaction levels. When you run a compactor over smaller amounts of garbage, it compacts better than if you take a whole bunch of it and try to squish it. You know, try to, you know, imagine like you're taking your garbage can and you're trying to squish as much stuff in there. If you wait till it gets all the way to the top and then you try to squish it down, you're not going to get nearly as much in there as if you took a smaller amount, squished it down, and add more and squish it down and keep doing it that way. So taking less massive amounts is beneficial for the life of our landfill is what we're trying to do. So we're getting there. You know, it's been a transition time, even though we tried to educate folks, give them the heads up, but it started July 15th is when we actually started.
It hasn't been that long.
Not really. That's when we implemented. We've been, you know, trying to get the message out there to say, this is coming, this is coming. And even then, there were some that waited, showed up on the 15th and said, what? No? Well, that's a surprise. Well, not really, but okay.
Yeah.
So we're transitioning that to say, okay, fine, this time. But in the future, that's going down to Metro. So you're going to have to haul it down to Bondurant, Mitchellville, the big landfill down there. And thankfully, they were willing to accept it on this level. So hopefully that continues in the future. Our intent is to continue cutting that back over time. This is an effort to give Ames and Story County a chance to get a transfer station to handle their waste. So a transfer station that all the waste would go there. They can kind of sort it and shove it and find places for it to go. In the meantime, we're still taking the backup stuff for the MSW whenever they their regular waste needs to come to go somewhere. We're still taking that. So
work in progress.
Yep. It's like a constant evolution, it seems like, of change to be like, well, we're going to do this and we got to get through there. So it's a slow process, but I think we're getting there. And same thing as experiencing with our methane project. It's a slow process right now. If you've been hearing anything about that, we're trying to get a methane collection system, a company to put in a plant and collect and clean, purify the methane gas and convert it into natural gas, so a renewable natural gas project, which is really exciting and cool and awesome, and I'm very excited for it, but it's going to be a long year and a half or so that they've said it's going to take some time.
Take some time to get there.
Okay, fine. Let's keep working at it. And
we'll forge ahead.
Some changes. That's right.
We'll keep working at it, too. Again, John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator, our guest. For people that want to find out about adopting a roadway, adopting a space, an area, whether it be in a community or outside a community, you can contact the landfill. Start talking there because we can get you you can get steered in the right direction pretty easy.
We get you all the information that you need and what we can do to help you out in your efforts to adopt that area. But give us a call at 515-433-0591.
All right. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.